Are you ready to dive into a world of captivating stories, laughter, and enlightenment? Look no further than Unfiltered Studios, your gateway to an incredible podcasting experience. Join St. Joe on Nailed It as he explores life's victories, one nail at a time. Petals of Support brings you heartwarming tales that remind us, even in the darkest moments, there's beauty and hope. Get ready to be entertained by the wit and humor of The Sleevey G Show, where interviews are always fascinating. Need a good laugh? Tune in to Refiltered, our comedy podcast that's sure to tickle your funny bone. Discover inner peace and guidance on finding your way, a spiritual podcast that nurtures your soul. Relax your mind and body with Hypno Wellness, your path to a healthier, more balanced life. Love movies? Movie Lovers Unite is your passport to a world of cinematic wonders. Immerse yourself in the magic of storytelling, laughter, and enlightenment as you're taken on a journey through the fascinating realm of movies and television. And don't forget the Stupid History Minute, where we uncover the quirkiest stories of everyday items. Unfiltered Studios is your destination for diverse, engaging content. Subscribe now and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every story finds its voice. Visit unfpod.com today.
What's up, movie lovers? It's your girl, Rossi, and I'm back with another awesome film. This is a film, it's the last voyage of the Demeter review. It's one of my favorite films from 2023, and so, or I think it's 22, whatever. Anyways, John and I are going to discuss, so let's get going, guys. What's up, John?
Nothing much. How are you doing, Rossi?
Dude, I thought I was on Movie Lovers, didn't realize I was on Rossi Talks, so I'm just like, what are you waiting for, John? Let's introduce the show, and so I'm like, wait, it's your show. Anyways,
no, it's your show too, you know?
It's our show.
Right. You know what? We can even remix it. We can put both intros in here at the same time.
We should do that. Absolutely. I've closed out shows with like been on Rossi Talks and closed out with Movie Lovers. It's like, well, now you can hear mine after this one. So
right.
This movie. I told John about the Last Demeter, the voyage of the Last Demeter. And I absolutely loved it. John recently watched it. And John, just a little bit about what did you think about the film? Hey, what's up, JoJo?
Okay, here's the thing. I remember doing the trailer reaction last year for it. Okay. And I wanted to see it. I just didn't get around to seeing it or anything like that. But I'm a sucker for vampire movies. I love Dracula. Oh, yeah. And to know that this is a prequel story of the events that happened on the ship, because we never got that at all in any of the Dracula movies. Yes, we understand that this, how he got there to London,
right,
and stuff like that. They've been shipwrecked and people died.
Right.
But we don't see the context of everything, even though we already know how this is going to end.
Right.
I just like seeing the story being told in a new kind of way.
Yeah.
And I think that this is a good, fun way to actually do it.
Right. I love, you know, Dracula, the story of Dracula, you know, Nosferatu, just, I love that whole Transylvania, just Dracula period. And I really appreciate when someone takes the story and does some justice to it. You know, Bram Stoker was really good. But this one, I haven't seen a Dracula film in a long time, other than there was one on Netflix, and it was a series. I think it was just 4 episodes, and it was the Dracula. That one was awesome. I really enjoyed that. Now, they did a great job. And I love that it was just 4 short episodes, you know, just a limited series. So I really appreciated that. But this one here, I really liked because it wasn't your typical Dracula movies that we normally see. We get to see Nosferatu, and that's exactly who it is. So I appreciate it. That take. And can I just read a little bit, you guys, who maybe if you haven't seen, I'm going to read a little bit about the film so you know exactly what it's about. And then John and I are going to talk about it. And we're going to talk about it out of sequence. It won't be like, you know, in order. We're just going to talk about the film. So it's based on a single chapter, The Captain's Log, from Bram Stoker's classic 1897 novel Dracula. The story is set aboard the Russian schooner Demeter, which was chartered to carry private cargo and 24 unmarked wooden crates. So from Carpathia to London, the film will detail the strange events that befell the doomed crew as they attempt to survive the ocean voyage. And each night, you know, they're stalked by whatever this cargo is. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, the thing that I liked about was, okay, let me just tell you this. I just like the storms in this movie, though, too.
Right.
Because of the fact it made me feel like I was actually part of this. I actually felt like I was on the ship, and I thought the direction of that was really cool. Then, of course, you know, whenever we first see the crates being delivered onto the ship and everything, you realize, oh, shit, this is actually going to be Dracula. This is what's going to happen. And then whenever the crate almost falls down on the little boy, too, and you see the blood dripping out, but nobody else notices it. But I like that little tidbit. But, you know, I also like the how we're introduced to each character, though, whenever they're looking for other shipmates to be with them.
Right.
And you're supposed to be, they pick up a doctor on here. I like the fact that they got someone of color to play this character. His name is Clemens.
Corey Hawkins plays Clemens. He's from, Welcome to Compton or the NWA story. Sorry.
Yeah, straight out of Compton. Yeah.
Straight out of Compton. Sorry. Welcome to Compton, guys. Sorry.
That's polite. That was like welcome the most politest Ice Cube song that I ever heard from NWA.
Straight out of Compton, my bad. Anyways, great actor. And yes, he plays the intelligent doctor, Clemens, and who actually wasn't going to be a part of the crew. They weren't going to have him on the crew for the first thing. I mean, obviously, let's just get it out the way. This is back in the 1800s. So obviously he's an educated black man, which is unheard of at that time. Really, you didn't, you know, I guess you didn't meet a lot of uneducated or educated black men, but educated black man, a doctor, and he wants to be a part of this crew. They don't want him on the crew, first of all, because, you know, he is black, but also, you know, I remember them looking at his hands and they realized that this guy's a professional. He's not a crew, you know, he's not a crew member. So, you know, when John's talking about that box that we see and you see, I think his name is Toby, the captain's son, is underneath this huge crate and it's getting ready to fall down. And Dr. Clemens comes and swoops Toby up. And that's how he was able to be a part of the crew because he saved the captain's son. So there we go.
Right. And, you know, I like how, you know, it starts off very slow. I like the fact that this is a slow paced film. Right. We don't get to see the monster right away or anything like that. We're able to care about all these other characters. And, you know, I like how basically this whole entire creepiness of the fact that there's rats that's supposed to be on board with the ship because of the fact that it's a ship.
Right.
And every ship is supposed to have rats.
Right.
And it's very unsettling when you don't hear that noise because of that. And I like how basically one of the crew members says that. He goes, look, hear that? He knocks on the ship. He goes, there's nothing there.
Right.
That's weird. And he goes, you can't trust a ship that don't have no rats.
Right. And you know, them not having rats, obviously, you know, whatever is on there has, you know, animals are known to, you know, when there's a storm coming, you know, you can tell because of their reaction, a tornado's coming. So these rats not being there, not there for a reason. I really did appreciate the fact that when the movie starts, guys, it starts where there's a shipwreck. And the ship is already in England when the film starts. So you see the shipwreck, there's no one there, but there's a ship guard or whatever that's talking to a captain or the constable and letting him know, you know, and he's frightened. He's talking about what they found on the ship, which was
the captain's log,
the captain's log, which described everything that went on. So that's the introduction to the film. And like John says, the film is very slow. You get your crew together and we're on our way. And this is a merchant ship, by the way, guys. So they have a certain amount of time to get to their destination because the sooner they get there, the more money that they all make. Okay, so this is a big deal, them getting to where they're going. And then we know that Nosferatu is there. Do you want to talk about that, John? I mean, that's, man.
I mean, I geeked out on that, to be honest with you, to know that he's on there.
Yes.
Because you don't get to see that in other Dracula movies or anything like that. And just to see him being on there is just gives you more of a sense of what we're getting here and more of a background into what we're getting.
Right.
You know what I mean? But yeah, I thought it was really cool to actually see him for the very first time and just being able to just get to know him a lot deeper than what we have been.
And also I want to mention, you know, so each night, guys, something weird is going on. And as the ship is leaving the port, you know, there is one guy that's on land, and he had handed one of the captains a lot of money. And I remember him saying, basically, this ship is cursed, it's doomed, you know, so some people knew that. All right. So each night something's happening. And there was one night where Toby, the captain's son, who seems to be about nine years old, really active, great kid. He's on the ship with his dad. There's this dog that he has, and he is in charge of the dog. Anyways, the killing of the dog when all the animals were killed. What did you think when you saw that? I mean, torn apart, but you don't see it happen. Not yet.
No, you don't. I like the fact that they didn't show that. Yes. And they let us see it for the next day on and seeing what happened. It has like that thing kind of vibe to it, even though we got to see the thing killed the dogs or whatever.
Right.
But with this, it has a little bit more of a mystery element to it of what's going on here. You're just as shocked as what they are when they see him. And then next thing you know, it's like, oh, now we have to go ahead and throw them overboard because of what happened. And Toby is just in disarray about it and everything. Yes, he's crying. You know, and you just feel bad for him. I like how Clemens is just there for him, trying to hold him. And then everybody's looking to Clemens like as if he's the one who killed the dog. It goes,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, because he's new to the crew, you know, and he's new to the crew. He's not like them, you know, but the smartest one, obviously, he's a doctor, very smart. But yeah, you know, you're going to look at, you know, we don't know who he is. You know, he's only here because he saves the captain's son. So, you know, he's, you know, the number one person to look at for, you know, did he go and kill all our livestock, you know, did he kill, you know, the dog? So they're not sure about him. But I do want to mention there are a few crates, and one of the crates we find that it's the young girl that is that's on that crate. And you want to talk about that first procedure where now we really appreciate that doctor is there, Dr. Clemens is there, because we pull this woman from this crate with dirt. Just dirt, and she's dead from what I can tell. Did you wonder who is she? What's going on? Did you realize or think that it had something to do with Nosferatu?
I had a feeling it did, but I was also in that little mystery element of like, okay, is this part of Dracula's mistresses that he has that he just feasts on and things like that too?
Right.
So are we going to have a little bit of seduction with the cement being out in the ocean?
Right.
Because I was like, okay, if that's the case, that's a perfect opportunity to do something like that. Right. Because think of it like this. They're out. They're men. They're out in the ocean. What are they? They're horny. They're going to want to sleep with, you know what I'm saying? They're
going to want Her name's Anna. With Anna.
Well, you know what I'm saying? But that's my first initial thought was. And so, and then of course, when we see him trying to do a blood transfusion back in those days, I thought that was a really neat way of actually showing us that they were practicing certain types of new ways of medical treatments and what they're accustomed to. So I thought that was a really cool touch to it, because I haven't seen something like that in a movie before, especially a Dracula movie, in a sense. But seeing her coming out of that dirt and then seeing him clean her up and try to hurry up and get a transfusion going. And then you have that mystery element too of like, okay, what's going on here? Is she part of Dracula? Is she not part of Dracula? What's going on here? Is she somebody that he just feasts on and stuff like
or
that?
Or is she just someone that just, you know, snuck onto the boat, you know, to get a ride to wherever they were going, you know? Because a lot of the crew looked at her like that. And remember, their rations are gone. Their food's gone. The meat's gone. So at this point, another person showing up. First of all, they didn't want to feed the doctor. Now she shows up. They're having issues. They do not want to have to share with her because they literally have nothing. They have no more meat. Their food is gone. All right. So she's there. Like John says, you know, they give her the, and Dr. Clemens does an awesome, you really get to see his talents because he is the doctor, and they get to see how smart he is and that he's not just saying what he is. So he sets up that blood transfusion to save her, and it happens. I mean, she ends up living, which I was very shocked by.
Me too. It just goes to show that he was a very good doctor and he was actually able to take care of her.
Right.
And everything too. And I like her character development with her introducing herself to the crew members and telling them who she is and why she's there. And then you also get glued into even more of the fact that she knows about the beast that's on board.
Yes.
And the fact that I like how she said, in my area, in my country, we call him Dracula.
Right.
And Romania.
Right.
And I like how they give a little bit of a sense of there's different legends by goes by different names in different countries. Right. So if it's a B in her country, he's called Dracula. So I like that. I like that little bit of a legend kind of vibe to it, an urban legend that comes to life in her country that happens to be on board.
Right.
And you're that much enthused into this whole entire thing.
And so I want to get to the first kill, because the first kill is Nosferatu. And I'm telling you that the kill that got me was Petrovsky. I think it was him. Anyways, it was the blonde guy and another shipmate. And the way that Nosferatu is up above and slits his throat. And so dude just falls down. The creepiest thing about it was, first of all, they got the makeup is great on Nosferatu. Yeah. I mean, the hands, the gray, the eye, the teeth. I mean, those two teeth protruding in that side profile where we get to see later on. I absolutely love that because it was so realistic. And seeing his hands around the guy's throat and then cutting into the guy's neck and eating him, sucking his blood. And the creepiest thing is the guy's eye is still moving. He's alive throughout that, a big chunk of Nosferatu sucking his blood, draining him. That was one of the coolest scenes.
I agree. And I like that build. Right. And I thought it was a cool little build to it. It has like a little bit of a Jaws kind of flavor to it.
Yeah.
Which is what I like.
Yeah.
It doesn't give us a lot of detail within Dracula himself.
Right.
But I liked it because it has a throwback feel of the old black and white.
Yes.
Dracula movies. And I'm not talking about the ones that you know, on Dracula. Like,
yeah, yeah.
No, not I'm talking about like the, I'm talking about like the about silent him. Ones.
Yes.
With the big,
the original
huge finger.
Nosferatu.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You see, the I can't original. Say the word, so I just get you to say it for me.
I will say it. Nosferatu. My you. Kids basically when they
but
were young.
Yeah, the but details, yeah. The little small details. Yeah. And I like the fact that they didn't make him into a human right away or anything like that either. That he has to try and get the blood first before he goes ahead and becomes the person that we know later on.
Right.
And that's something I really liked about it. And then, of course, like you said, that gruesome scene of him sucking the blood and then how detailed it is. And then his eyes. And then especially when you see Toby sit looking at the guy's eye and he's over there like, oh, my God. It's very disturbing.
Right. No, it really was. And just and the guy knowing, you know, what's going on as he's being sucked dry and just his eye just looking around and it was just creepy. I love that, but I did like you said, the fact that we got to see, you know, a little bit of his face, you know, his arm, his hand, and how well the makeup was done because it's just so realistic. So I really, just skinless or hairless, right. Hairless. So he looked like those old cats, you know, the skinless cats or the hairless cats.
Yeah, the hairless
one. The hairless cats. So he looked like that. His skin looked like that. And I appreciate that because it didn't take you out of it. This is not, you know, you're not looking for, like John said, Count Chocula. This is not that person. This is the old school Nosferatu. So I really appreciated that. Each night from that point, though, the crew's just taken down. Each night. Yep. What did you think about that? Like, were you doing what I was doing? Who's going to be next?
That's who I was doing. I'm like, who's going to be next on this ship? And, you know, and then you want the other guy that ended up taking the boat out and everything, too. I'm like, you're okay. I get the fact, dude, that either way it goes, you're screwed. So I get the fact it's about survival.
I found that funny when he That was our chow, the chow hall guy. That was our chef, our cook. And
yeah,
after about, I think about the, after the third person got taken down by Nosferatu, I'm telling you, the way he knocks that dude out, gets the dinghy, the other boat, gets in the boat, because he's like, I'm out of here. He absolutely is out of here. And I thought he was going to get away until you hear that whisper. What did you think about the whisper?
That made my skin crawl,
oh,
to be honest.
Gosh,
like,
right?
Like, I remember seeing it on my TV and everything, because at first I was watching it on my phone. I was like, I can't get the same vibe for it from my phone. So
yeah.
I watched it on my TV. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And then you see him turn around, and we're just that much frantic for him.
Yeah.
And you just feel bad for the guy, because we're thinking you're almost there.
Yeah, he's.
And yet you're being taken down by this beast, that, and he's just, this beast is just not going to let go. He's going to kill everybody that's on board.
And what's crazy about it is when he shows up on the boat where the chef is trying to get away, the cook is trying to get away, they show his profile, his body. You see his wings, you know, you see him perched there like a gargoyle, and you see his face. And I love that, because I'm for, show me the freaking monster. Show me the full, I want the full monster. I want to see, did you guys do a full suit? And they did. And it was just really cool how they just showed him. And then he flies away. And then the boat, the little dinghy comes back, you know, and floats back to the ship. And everyone's looking overboard. And he's gone. There's just blood there. And remember, guys, in the beginning of the film, when the boat washes ashore, no one's there. No one's on the boat. So that pretty much lets you know. We're watching how every single one of them were taken out. And it was freaking gruesome. Absolutely gruesome. John, you want to talk about the worst death?
I think Toby's is probably like the worst.
Yes.
Because I felt bad for the kid. It's the innocence of a child. And whenever I see the child being taken, this is worse than seeing a dog getting killed and everything, too, for me.
Yeah.
It's seeing a child.
I didn't think they'd show it.
I had a feeling they would, but at the same time, like, it's a child. It's the innocence of a child. But then I'm like, wait, there's no survivors in the other Dracula films or anything like that.
Right.
So you already know that he's doomed too.
Right.
And everybody's doomed on this, but we're rooting for them because we're hoping that
someone,
there's hope for them.
Yeah. Or at least he would have spared the little boy, you know, but
right.
You know, it wouldn't have made sense. I just, honestly, I didn't think that they would have, he would have gotten a little boy. But when he got the little boy, I didn't think that they would show him like, you
really
know,
don't.
Yeah, right. Really gulped the little boy. And that was so sad, because what had happened was one crew member ended up surviving. He got bit, but he had turned. And so they had to, and his name was, it was Olgarin. So Olgarin was the one that survived. He was bit. They had to tie him down on a table because he was going nuts. And he finally gets loose, and Toby ends up seeing him. So he ends up going after Toby. Toby gets away and goes into his father's, the captain's cabin. He goes in there, hides. While he's hiding, there is a perfect scene where you see the full body of Nosferatu and you see his side profile. And I love that part, because when he turns to the side, you see those two front teeth and just that look, that weird, doofy,
trippet.
Creepy look that he gives, and then he scurries off. That was another scene that I thought was just freaking awesome. I love that scene.
And you know, then after that, you see him take down Toby, and then the burial thing just got me, because of the fact that the captain goes, "Wait, I think I see him breathing." And then you see the doctor looking at him like, "Look, man, he's not breathing."
Yeah, it's like, "Dude, he's gone, doc."
And part of me is like, is he going to be sleeping? Is he going to even be waking up because of the fact that it's during the daytime?
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
because they rest during the day. So I'm like, is he just going to wake up? Because I understand them waking up in the dark because there's no light. But is he going to do the same thing in the daytime?
Right.
And Toby winds up waking up.
Yeah.
And then he winds up catching on fire, just like how the dude that we see strapped down.
Yeah. Ogering
too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Olgrin gets strapped down outside and gets burnt alive first, and then it goes into Toby being burnt. But the way they burnt him, and then throwing him overboard, just broke my heart because I was, because I'm like, I was rooting because I'm like, okay, well, if they take down Dracula, maybe there's hope for this kid to survive.
Yes, I thought so too. I thought because what ends up happening is when Toby gets, you know, attacked by Nosferatu, Dr. Clemens also gives him a blood transfusion, and he's trying, and so his dad, the captain, is, you know, they're getting his blood to put into Toby. And so I'm thinking at that point, okay, he's going to live, but we, you know, we also see what happened to Oberyn. You know, he got bit, he lived, but he wasn't himself. So I thought that Toby would have survived. So when they're on the deck and they have Toby wrapped up because they're doing a funeral for him, and his dad, obviously the captain, is very distraught. And so, like John says, when he looks over and he's like, you know, he's moving. I thought, freaking awesome, he wasn't dead. He actually survived until he opens up his eyes and he starts burning. And then Olgrin starts burning up because obviously they are vampires, and it is the daytime, bright and sunny out. Crazy scene. And how the captain, who's going to grab his son, also is burned, you know, reaching for Toby. So that happens. And then the captain lost his mind. He lost his mind. And what he wanted to do was write everything down in the captain logs. Like, he wanted to make sure everything was written down, but he totally, absolutely lost it.
He lost his mind. It's like having cabin fever after that point.
Yes. Yes.
His own sanity. And I can understand why. He lost his son, and you're dumping him overboard and never to see him again.
Right.
And this is riching for him. And then, you know, and then, of course, you would want, the next morning, of course, with Algarian, who had been, like we said, stuff with Algarian and everything being burnt alive. Then, you know, then the remaining crew wants to destroy the ship and down Dracula to prevent him from causing chaos once they reach London. Right. So now you have a plan now.
Yes.
In motion.
Yes. And Anna's going to help. Yeah. Anna's going to help because Anna knows, because we find out also, guys, that Anna was who Nosferatu was feeding on. That's why she was there. He was feeding on her, and she had told them he would come back, drain her again, you know, put dirt back in her. She'd be back in the dirt. And so that's why she was there. It was his food source was Anna. So, and you see bites on Anna that was healed, you know, on her neck. I think on her arm, there's bites on her. So you see those bites, and you see that her explaining that that's why she was in that box. It was his food. Right. He was feeding. And there was a certain point, I remember one of the crew members thought that he had left. He had fled. He didn't. He was, what did she say? He was rationing. He was rationing what he had. And so he wasn't running. He was just rationing what he had. And so with the captain going crazy and letting them know, the other crew members and Dr. Clemens know, this boat, we're cursed.
Right.
The devil
we're a cursed crew.
We're a cursed crew. The devil is here, and you know where he wants us to end up at. So you know that's happening. So they do come up with this awesome plan to kill him.
Right. And I like how they have everything in motion where basically they're planning on killing Dracula and stuff like that too. I thought that was really neat.
Right.
On how they were coming up with that plan. And then, of course, you're wondering if this is even going to come through or not, you know?
Right.
Too. And then, you know, you have two people on top of the sealers. Yes. Then you also have another thing where they're going to do is they're going to go take where the cargo bay is and basically lift that up just as the vampire Dracula falls down into it, and they trap him to the cargo, and they wind up just basically taking some nails and everything and nailing it shut.
Right. So we lose a couple of people. We lose the second in command. We lose him. And they do. They pull this stunt off, but we do lose a couple of men in the process. I think one guy fell from the top and died. Nosferatu ended up getting one of the other guys. And so you have the captain left, you have Anna left, and you have Dr. Clemens left. Everyone else has died. The captain, though, doesn't want to. That's right. He ties himself to the what is it, John? The
star. Wheel? Yeah, the wheel, the starburst, I think.
Yes. Okay. So he ties himself down. He wants to go down with the ship, basically. And you want to talk about the trap? Like, it actually did work, but, you know, it was at a point where Dracula was attacking Dr. Clemens.
Right. And he winds up attacking Dr. Clemens.
Right.
And you also see the other two members that's on top of the thing. They wind up basically almost hanging themselves, if you think about it, because right. That's basically how I've seen it. Because basically how Dracula did it was he ended up knocking them off and they hung up in some rope and they hung themselves.
Right.
Then you also see the other thing that was going to happen with the cargo bay. And then he winds up scratching Clemens's neck.
Yes.
And everything.
Oh my gosh.
To mark him because he actually sees him basically as an alpha. That's the way I've seen it.
Yeah.
And therefore he could use someone like that versus it just being a throwaway. I think he would have actually been, instead of him finding that one person in London, Jonathan, I think he would have been the one that would actually be the caretaker for Dracula.
Okay.
And that's how I've seen it.
Okay. I can see that.
But because of the fact he needs someone that's an alpha, he doesn't want someone that is weak.
Clemens absolutely was an alpha. I mean, he, you know, when Dracula had approached him and like John said, he slices his throat, not to kill him. He's not dead, but he draws blood. And so, and you know, you have Dr. Clemens who's telling him, I'm not afraid of you. I'm not scared of you. And so you have Dracula who then goes and attacks Anna and you see her folded up, you know, him folding his wings up around Anna. And then the trap that they had end up releasing and they have Dracula then pinned up against a pole.
Yep.
And go ahead, John.
And it looks like it strikes his heart and everything too.
Yep.
The way it looks. And then you think that all is good because Clemens is now, of course, in London.
Yes.
And I love it. I love this scene so much because Go ahead.
Well, what I liked was Clemens and Anna end up being the only two that are the survivors. Okay, so you know the ship goes; it's gone. They jump off the ship as they kill Dracula. They're they're holding on to some parts of the ship in the middle of the ocean. And I really love the scene which is really sad, where Anna is telling Clemens like, you need to get far away from me. You need to go because she's a vampire and she doesn't want to hurt him. So they drift off and then you see in the background, because it is the sun is coming up and you see in the background her burn up because she is a vampire. So the next scene we see is, you know, fast forward it. Clemens is in London, like John had mentioned, and he's looking for Nosferatu because he knows that he made it. He knows that he made it because they couldn't. His body was not at the ship, right?
Well, parts of me was thinking this. Okay, this is just me seeing it, and the expression on his face. Okay, part of me is thinking that he's thinking that okay, I have nothing to worry about now. We kill them, but also in the back of his mind, though, too, I feel like he is very fearful that he's still alive. In the back of his mind too. So, you know, I liked that whole entire thing. It was like, am I safe or am I not really safe?
Right.
Kind of vibe to it. And then you wind up seeing, Clemens just looking around and all of a sudden you see a shadow.
Yeah.
And there's this little creepy little smirk.
Oh my God.
He has his top hat on.
Yeah.
And he's also got the cane that Clemens found in the crate. He's over there banging the cane with his hand
to let him know. It's him.
Yep, that he's there.
He's there. That was I really, really, really like this film. I'm so happy that it was done right. The acting was great. The story was great. I love the ending because is there going to be another one? Is this going to be something that this guy is going to do? It ended great. And to find Nosferatu in that tavern where Clemens was, you know, and to hear that knocking and for him to look and for Clemens to know because they look at each other that he's made it. He's in London. And there's one thing that Clemens did mention when he's opening up his book right before that scene is, if he's here, I know where he rests at night.
Right.
So he knows where to go at night, where he rests, but or during the day. I'm sorry, during the day. He knows where to find him, but he made it. He's alive. And I love that ending because it leaves a question mark on, for me, I'm always looking to see, will they do another one? You know, is there a possibility of another one being done because of the way that it ended? But I really liked it. I'm happy that.
Me too.
I'm happy that they went there, that they focus on the original Dracula from the 20s, the 30s.
Me too. They only get this, okay? So I was hoping that it would actually made a lot more money than it did.
How did it
but
do?
But it had a $45 million budget and it made only $21.8 million.
Wow.
And in order for it to make a sequel, you would have to at least have, you know, give or take, or like maybe a $150 million budget.
Okay.
And everything for it to be a success, for it to actually have a sequel.
Right.
But I wanted a sequel for this. This is a good story. It just sucks that people slept on it, you know?
Yeah, I do feel that. I mean, when I saw the trailer for it, obviously, you know, I'm all for it. I couldn't wait to see it. When I finally saw it a few months ago, it was everything I wanted it to be. It was really good. I mean, it wasn't too long. It was like only an hour and 58 minutes. So it wasn't, you know, drawn out. But in that hour and 58 minutes, like John said, you really get to know the crew because they let you get to know the crew. The little boy, Toby, who you absolutely just fall in love with, just a cute little boy, just the whole story. And Dr. Clemens. I loved the whole crew. And the acting was really good. Special effects, great. And, you know, really quick, we never mentioned who plays the Beast, but Javier Botet, he played.
Bodan, yeah.
Yeah, okay, him. He played, sorry. He plays Dracula. He plays Nosferatu, and he did a great freaking job.
Wow.
Yes. Yes.
I had no idea that was Javier Bardem. I mean, because I love that dude. That dude is hands down one of my favorite actors.
Well, he, you know, let's see. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Him.
Yeah.
That's odd. Yeah, he's a great actor, and he did great in this. Absolutely great in this. I do have some fun facts if you want to hear.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's some goof. So at about the hour 35, Wolchek locks himself inside the cargo hold by inserting a wooden board through the handles, but they're sliding doors, so they still won't open. All right, so that's okay. So they would still open, okay? And then the quotes, this is a quote that Clemens made, and I wanted to bring this up. He said, I do not fear you. And then you have Nosferatu who says, oh my gosh, I'm sorry, guys. I'm so sorry. Do you remember that part where he looks at him and says, I do not fear you?
Yeah, I do.
And Dracula says, he says, you will. You will. I thought that was cool. That's a quote. And here's a little trivia. So Dracula's look is based on Count Orlok from the unauthorized adaptation Nosferatu 1922. That's the one that you're talking about. This was also the model for the look of the vampire Barlow in the original Salem's Lot in 1979.
Yep. I had a feeling that's also another thing I forgot to mention too. It had like a little bit of a Salem's Lot vibe with the makeup and everything.
Yes.
So yeah.
So, and that was a good one. The Salem's Lot, those were good ones as well. So there we have it. If you had to rate it, though, what would you give it?
If I had to do it, I would have to put down 4 steaks out of 5.
I get you. I would say absolutely, definitely average movie, but I watched it like more than 2 times and I enjoyed it.
Right.
So, guys, it is streaming now. You can go and watch it.
Yeah, just to give everybody a heads up, you guys can rent it on Vudu. You can also watch it on Apple, which I did. Or you can buy it on Blu-ray, DVD, or whatever you choose.
Or YouTube.
If you're a physical. Yep. Or
rent
YouTube.
It on YouTube. Yeah, you can rent it on YouTube. That's where I watched that. So great movie. I'm so happy that you reviewed that with me. And I hope you guys really enjoyed that movie. John, do you want to talk about our next little
Yes. So I actually had a little short film that was sent in to me and everything, and that is by David A. Floors. David A. Floors has a short film that's about 14 minutes long. It's called Likeness.
Yes.
And basically, it's about this girl who's looking for her mother and she's missing. And so she winds up finding this AI program. And what she does is she takes her mother's likeness and uploads it into this software, and it generates a video carbon copy of what her mother it looks like, talks, and everything.
Yeah.
And I just thought this was a great short film that clocks in at 14 minutes.
Yes.
I really enjoyed it. I did a review on it, but I want to know Rossi's thoughts because, I sent her this, and I wanted her to. I was just kind of curious about what she thought of it.
Oh my gosh. I love films about AI and that type of stuff. So it's pretty interesting. So when I watched the film, like John said, 14 minutes, but it packs a lot in 14 minutes. I really liked it. It makes you think, though. I was telling John that the daughter who uploads her mother's image, like John explained, it made me think, like, with my grandmother, like she died, and if I could upload a likeness into, a computer or whatever, and and have her AI there, how would you deal with that? Would that be creepy? Would that be cool? Like, I think that would be. I would try it absolutely, just to have a few moments with which you know it's not, but just it looks like it passes for it.
Right.
But the story itself, really enjoyed the story. I don't want to give the ending away, but I liked how what she ends up finding out, the way she reacts to the AI, because she's very wanting to make sure that this AI, knows that, even though you look like my mom, whatever, you're not my mother, and making that very clear, kind of angry in a sense with the whole situation. And then watching the film and finding out the ending and what happened, it was really good. And
Yes,
I don't want to
and
say too much because I don't want to give it away, because I really would like to talk about it, but I don't want to give the ending away.
right.
I enjoyed his play with the AI and your mother, or yeah.
And in case anybody's wondering, we're talking about Likeness, and this is a short film that was sent in to me by David A. Floors, and it's actually going to be live for everyone to watch. And everything on the 26th on Omeletto's YouTube channel. You can actually find my review on the YouTube channel, and you just find his link and then subscribe to it. And it's going to premiere on the 26th. I just want to throw that out there as part of the Holly Shorts Film Festival. And it's been getting a lot of buzz lately. So thought this would be a perfect time after our review of The Last Voyage of the Demeter that we
I
would
know,
be
it's
able to
it.
talk about that.
I
But no, I actually
it
agree.
was good. It was a good
I,
film. It was an interesting premise. Everyone's doing AI right now, but I liked his story, his take on it, because her mother is a sex worker, and her mother end up disappearing, goes missing. And so the film starts with you see her, uploading the mother's image, and she soon goes and finds out what happened to the mom a little bit later in a film, which will bring everything together. John, go ahead.
Right. And I like the fact too that he's using AI as a coping mechanism
Yes.
later
Oh,
on in the
right.
film. And of course, at the very beginning of it, she's like, "You're not my mother, you're just an AI. You're just
Yep.
photo generated. You're not my mother. Oh, help me find where my mother was last located." Well, I can't do that because there's still an ongoing investigation. So in my mind, thinking how I think, I'm thinking that this could be used later on in the future to help criminal investigations for
Yes,
CSI and stuff
right.
like that to help with it. So it's breaking into the whole entire deal of AI can actually be used for tools for something good versus something
Right,
bad and
right.
nothing so negatively as well. So I like that aspect of the fact that she's using AI as a coping mechanism, but also finding out where her mother's last whereabouts was, and also
Right.
a way to look into an investigation. And I just want to say this. the actress that plays her mom, it's very hard to do that kind of thing.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Where there's no emotion.
Yes.
And AI shows no emotion, no attachment to anything. And I just loved it. I loved how she played the character for that AI.
You know, going to the using AI to for grieving purposes, like if you're mourning someone, I don't know. I don't know if that would be a good idea, because I feel like maybe in a way you wouldn't move on. You wouldn't, you know what I mean? It'd be hard to, you know what I mean? It'd be hard to then move on with the grieving process, because now you have this image of your loved one who's able to talk to you, who's able to, you know, so I would think that you'd become obsessed with that because you can't see them. They're not physically here with you, like touching you, but you can talk to them. I thought about that, you know, that's why I brought up the grandmother situation, you know, missing her so much, being gone for, you know, years and years and years, and then being able to upload her image and be able to talk with her and speak to her. Would that be good for my psyche, you know?
Right. And I feel like for me personally, I wouldn't want that because of the fact I'll be stuck in that whole entire thing of well, guess what? I can go home anytime I want to.
Yep.
Just to spend time with this AI. And then next thing you know, that becomes part of your life.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Absolutely.
But I do want to mention one other thing too, though. If you guys are into that kind of thing, there's actually another little short film that I reviewed back in 2020 called Please Hold. And this is dealing with artificial intelligence accidentally arresting somebody.
Really?
For a crime that he didn't even do. And it's a futuristic kind of thing. It's actually on Max the last time I've seen it. Yeah. It's on Max now.
Okay.
It's 19 minutes long. It's really good for a little short film. So I just want to throw that out there. If you guys like something like that, that is actually another good one, because it goes into the whole entire realm of, well, if you're going to use this, this could also be misidentification off of somebody who's likeness or whatever. And then you get arrested for some crime that you didn't even do.
You know, there was a, the original Twilight Zone, the black and white Twilight Zone back in the day, they had did, one of the stories was two kids that had lost their grandmother, and the dad needed, they lost their mother. And so the dad obviously worked, and you can go and buy at the store, you can go and buy you artificial intelligence and a robot that looks just like a person, and you can buy them and bring them home, and you can buy you a grandmother or whatever. Anyways, they play around with that back in the 60s, the 50s, 60s, when Twilight Zone was out. So they are way ahead of their time with this whole AI thing, because they did a couple of stories, but I remember that one because it was really good, but very creepy, because the kids got so attached to the AI grandmother, to where the grandmother was turning the kids against the father. It was a really good story, but just that they did that way back when that wasn't a thing, you know? So I thought that's very interesting. It's one of my favorite shorts from the Twilight Zone series.
And also too, another thing that you guys can look at is like the likeness is just like a Black Mirror episode as well.
Oh yeah, it absolutely is. Yes, definitely.
So yeah. Just wanted to throw that out there. But yeah, definitely worth watching and checking out on the 26th. And, you know, you guys can check out that review as you guys please. So make sure you support David and the rest of his team. They did a phenomenal job with that. So that's it as far as the short film review for Likeness.
Yes, absolutely. So, John, what do you have coming up next week? What's going on with Movie Lovers?
So I'm going to be doing another NFL draft kind of based kind of thing that I did with Leonardo DiCaprio. I just have to find a day and time to do it. But we're going to be covering all Johnny Depp, best Johnny Depp movies of all time. We're skipping franchises, though. We're not doing the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise. Okay. We're not covering that. And we're not covering Alice in Wonderland.
Okay. So there's plenty still.
So we're going from the 90s to 2015, probably.
Freaking awesome.
So, and that's what we're doing as far as that goes. I do have some other stuff planned out, probably some more trailer reactions, because we're going to have the Super Bowl coming up, and there's going to be a crap load of trailers that's going to be coming out, so I'm going to be doing trailer reactions for that.
Okay, I would like to do that with you.
Okay, awesome. More the merrier. But yeah, I'm going to be doing that for the Johnny Depp thing. And then I'm going to try and think of some other stuff that we're going to try and do. Absolutely. But yeah, that's the main thing.
Absolutely. Same here. I'll have a show coming up with Kristen. Kristen Duff, I'm sorry. She's filming right now, guys. So as soon as she's done filming, her and I are going to be talking about the Spider-Man cartoon films. What was it? The two?
Across the Spider-Verse and also Into the Spider-Verse.
Yes, absolutely. So been playing a lot of Spider-Man video game, the new Spider-Man game that's out. So I have to go and watch the films, and I thought it'd be fun to do it with Kristen. So as soon as she's available, we'll be doing that sometime this month. And you'll see me with John.
Okay. Another thing, too, is we do have a Patreon, and it's the intermission stuff that we've been doing.
Yes.
I am working on an intermission episode right now that I'm actually editing, and that's going to come out next Wednesday. And it's going to be commercial-free. If you sign up with the Patreon at Movie Lovers Unite, TV Lovers Unite, you get a shout-out. It's only $5 for the sign-up.
Right.
And commercial-free. And then a week later, I release it to the public. And yeah, and then, therefore, you know, it's you got the commercial advertisements and stuff like that, too. So, yes. You know, just a little small tidbit thing I want to throw out there that we do have a Patreon. We are actually trying to grow it and expand it. Yes. So if you guys have any ideas, just shoot me an email at movielovesunite@gmail.com. So go on ahead. You can go on ahead and close out there with Russ.
Okay. So hit up our Patreon. John and I have an intermission coming up that we're going to do, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to that. I love your intermission, John. And you guys, we appreciate you joining us tonight. As always, be good to each other, and we'll see you next week, guys.
California love.
California love, yeah. Absolutely. And
yep, that's what we're working on is Tupac. So
yes, it is. Yeah, I wasn't going to say it, but yeah, we both love Tupac, John. Yeah, so we have a lot of discussing about Tupac, his life, his films, and goodness, movies, everything about him. Juice, we should probably review that. That was a...
Heck yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a good one to review. So yeah, John and I will be talking about Tupac. And right. That's going to be it, guys. So we'll see you next time.
See you, guys.
Unlock a new era in podcasting with Unfiltered Studios. Ready to break free from the ordinary? Dive into a world where authenticity meets innovation. Our network isn't just about podcasts. It's a revolution. From nostalgia to movies, sports to self-improvement, find your favorite podcast in an array of diverse shows, only at Unfiltered Studios. Join the movement. Subscribe to Unfiltered Studios today and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com today to find your favorite show.
Unfiltered Studios will help you press record.